Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Hei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. At the top of Daf Mem Hei, we have a Mishnah, Hanochrim Ho'oitim Esahorim Vesagvos, Gentiles that worship mountains and hills. Hein Mutorin, the mountains themselves are allowed, are Mutter, Thuma Shaleim Asurim, but that which is on the mountains is forbidden. Shinemar Lo Sachmoit Kesev Vizov Alehem, that you shall not desire the silver and gold that is upon them. The Rashi says, "Umashalem kagon im tzipum zov kesef." Also, if the mountains were coated with gold or silver, that gold or silver coating would be forbidden. Shenemar lo sachmo kesef zov alehem v'lakachtoloch. Rashi goes on, "V'afagav the inu lav avidus kochav mikru v'lo mitzri." Even though the gold coatings themselves were not idols, and by virtue of being a non-idol, they should not be forbidden. Nevertheless, gzeres hakosuvhi, the tolu shalem, that which is detached, that's on them, on these mountains that were worshipped, ketolu shel shar v'yidus kochavim, are viewed as things that are detached items on other idols. Shenemar lo sachmoid alehem. So Rashi's explaining that even though if we go back to the first narrow line, and let's just go over that with a greater deal of accuracy. It says, even though the inhu there is a reference to the mountains and hills themselves don't become forbidden, nevertheless, it's a gzeres hakosuv that which is detached, which is located on them, is like that which is tolush on other idols. The pasuk says lo sachmor aleim. Rashi goes on, and that is going on al kol shehein avodim mashma, on anything that's worshipped. If you have an item that's worshipped, that which is upon that item, even if, and we're going here and saying even if the item itself that's worshipped doesn't gain a classification of an idol, like the case of the mountains, nevertheless that which is on top of it does become forbidden. Let's continue in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Haglili Omer, Eloheim al Hehorim. The pasuk describes their idols, the gods that are on the mountains. Velo Hehorim Eloheim, but the mountains themselves don't become gods. Eloheim al Hagvois, Veloi Hagvois Eloheim. Their gods, their idols are on the hills, but the hills themselves, even if they happen to be worshipped, don't become themselves idols. They don't gain idol status. Hence, if there was a mountain that people were bowing down and worshipping on, and you wanted to take a hike on such a mountain, you would be allowed, because the mountain does not gain idolatrous status. Umitneima Asherah Asura. If this is the approach to the psukim, then why is it that an Asherah tree is forbidden? There is a pasuk that says, Tachas kol eitz ra'anon. They're idols under trees. Why could we not say, when looking at that pasuk, Tachas kol eitz ra'anon velo eitz ra'anon Eloheim, and say that under their trees are their idols, but the trees themselves don't become idols? When we were saying that with regards to the mountains and the hills. So the question once again is, what's the difference concerning the Asherah tree, that it does become, once the tree is worshipped, a tree does gain idol status? The answer to this is, because in the in the issue of the tree, the presence of the tree came about through human involvement. Those things, those items that come about through human involvement, also they become forbidden. In other words, in contrast to the mountains that were part of creation, people did not make the mountains. Those things don't become forbidden, even though they may be worshipped. However, the tree, which comes about through tfisas yidei adam, through human involvement, it does become usur. The question will arise, well, what about the pasuk that said tachas kol eitz ranon, and we did not darshan it as v'lo eitz ranon elohim? What do we do with that pasuk of tachas kol eitz ranon? Amar Rabbi Akiva, ani oivin v'adun. I will add some understanding and explain. The pasuk of v'lo tachas, the pasuk that said v'tachas kol eitz ranon, kol mokim sha'ata moitze hargvo v'givonisa v'eitz ranon, wherever you find a lofty mountain or high hill or a magnificent tree, da shiyesh sham avodas kohavim. The Torah is telling me is showing where one can find idols, especially when the Jews entered the land of Israel. They entered a land that was occupied by nations that were all idol worshippers. So the Torah is giving simonim, is giving signs of where the entering Jewish nation can find the idols in order to destroy them. Let us look at Rashi. Amar Rabbi Akiva, ani oivin v'odun lefonecha, afaresh v'odun lefonecha. I will explain. Achar she'ein lanu lidrosh mi'uto mitachas eitz ranon. After we just got finished saying before that we can't learn from the pasuk of eitz ranon a limitation, namely we cannot exclude the trees themselves based on this pasuk, but rather that which is under the trees and the trees themselves as well do become idolatrous. Shelo ne'emar, this pasuk was not said other than elo limsor lahem simoni mokom shirigilim emoroim lavot sham avodas kochavim. It was a sign of where the Amorites, these were nations, that name of a nation that was in the land of Israel before the Jewish people showed up, where they, these are signs of where those people worship their idols. Kadeshi Yachapsi Israel Sham Yivarum. So the Jews would seek out those idols and destroy them. Umiuta Tahoram Uvos Miha Mino Mimamatinon. However, when it comes to the pasuk dealing with the mountains and the hills, we do exclude. There is a limitation. Mashusi Dekra. From the psukim themselves, you can see that those are to be learned in a limitation capacity, namely that we're limiting the avodah zarah to the things on the mountains and not the mountains themselves. Shalot siva labeda saharim. There is no pasuk commanding the destruction of mountains. Avol kol eitz ranon. But with regard to that pasuk about under the beautiful trees, there's another pasuk that siva lanu labeid b'mokam acher. Regarding trees, in another part of the Torah, there is a specific command to destroy the trees. It says v'ashirim tisrun v'esh, that their asherah trees you shall burn in fire. V'hocha lo nokit lay, here with regard to the pasuk of tachas kol eitz ranon elo mishum simona, its purpose is to serve as a signpost, so to speak, of where they can find idols. The Gemara, for Rabbi Yossi Aglili hainu Tanakama, whether you take the Tanakama's position or Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the Horem and Gvolos are muter. What's the difference between these two opinions? As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a geometric form. We have a double underlining. It's one of our series markings. And we also have a diamond that's featured. The double underlining, we've indicated on the outside margin, the nosei, we have a topic heading and structural note. The double underline represents two deos, or two opinions, one of Romi Bar Chama, and the next double underline features Rav Sheshes. And we have the expression iko binayo in a diamond, which is there, my iko bein tanakama v'rabiyos eglili. we're trying to find what is the point of difference between the first opinion in the Mishnah and the second, that of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So, Omar Rami Bar Chama in the Gemara, Omar Ish Lakish, Tzipui Har Kehar Ikobinayu. The issue concerning material that's used to coat the mountain. Are we going to view the coating as the mountain itself? Tanakama Sovar Tzipui Har, the coating, if they laid a sheet of gold on the mountain, or coated the mountain with gold, Eino Kehar Umitzar, it does not take on the status of the mountain, and as a result of that, it becomes forbidden. In arriving at this conclusion, the pasuk to be cited would be Lo Sachmoid Kesev Izov Alehem. The Lo Sachmoid Kesev Alehem, that one shall not be desirous of the of the silver that's on them. So if you have a coating of silver and the pasuk is warning not to desire it, it shows that that coating is usur and is not like the mountain. In other words, the mountain itself is, everyone agrees, does not become an idol. The coating, though, does take on prohibited status. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Sovar Tzipui Har Harei Hu Kehar. Rabbi Yossi Aglili is of the feeling that if the mountain is coated, so the coating takes on the status, it's botel, it becomes like part of the mountain itself. It's botel legabi dahar. Rav Sheshes Omar Dekuli Almo Tzipui Har Eino Kehar. According to Rav Sheshes, everyone will agree, including Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that the coating of the mountain is not like the mountain, and hence it will be forbidden. Once again, unlike the mountain itself is not forbidden. It doesn't become forbidden, even though people worship it, but the coating of it will become forbidden. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili, according to Rav Sheshes, unlike Rami Bar Chama, Rabbi Yossi Aglili is actually coming to be more machmir. The feeling being that since he's a second opinion, he's a later opinion, he's coming to add more stringency than that which the first opinion said. Notice we have a diamond around komifligi, meaning that this is the point of difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Tanakama Sovar Ilon Shenoto, a tree that was planted without idolatrous intention, was planted as a regular tree. And after it was already growing, Ula Basofov, though, after the tree was grown, was standing, he decided to worship it. Tanakama holds mutter. The tree does not become idolatrous. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Sovar, Ilon Shenot Ula Basofov, though, Osir. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the tree that was planted Beheter, and then subsequently worshipped, Usher, which this means that that which grew after he started worshipping it, that would become forbidden. But he will agree that which was there before, the part of the tree, the growth of the tree that was present before he started worshipping it, that would be allowed. So as far as original tree material is concerned, everyone would agree that is allowed. As far as the material that grew on the tree after he started worshipping it, according to the Tanakama, that remains allowed. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that additional growth is forbidden. The Tanakama's opinion that asserts that the tree that was planted originally without idolatrous purposes in it, it remains mutter, because it is, in this sense, it is like the mountains, in so far as that it's mechuber lekarka, and it wasn't planted originally with idolatrous intentions. Therefore, it remains like the mountains, and it cannot become forbidden. However, is there a case of a tree becoming forbidden? After all, the Torah does talk about destroying Asherah trees. So the answer to that is yes. That's a tree that's planted originally with idolatrous intentions. And that would be the classic case of Tfisas Yad Odom, where a person was involved in its coming about. It may be added that according to Rav Yossi Aglili, the concept of Tfisas Yad Odom is expanded. In other words, it's not limited to the case of a person planting initially with idolatrous intentions, but even a case where a tree was planted originally with acceptable intentions, the fact that a person is involved in the planting of the tree, that is enough to enable the additional growth of the tree later on when it's actually worshipped to become forbidden and be unlike a mountain. A mountain at no point in its existence was determined by human involvement. A tree was determined by human involvement, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, even though it wasn't planted originally with idolatrous purposes, since a human being was involved in its coming about, once it is worshipped somewhere in midlife of the tree, the additional growth can become forbidden. So, that having been said, let's go over Rabbi Yossi Aglili's opinion on the third line from the top. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Sovar Ilan Shenotu L'Besof Ovdo, Osir. As we said, the additional growth after it's planted. Mimai, from where do we know this? Midikatoni Seifa, from the fact that the continuation of the Mishnah says the following. Mipnei ma Asherah Asura, why is the Asherah tree forbidden? And we had mentioned this in the context of what the mountains are not forbidden, so why is it that the tree, Asherah tree, is forbidden? Because there is human involvement. And anything that has human involvement in its being can become forbidden. The expression v'chol sheyesh bo tfisas adam l'asuyei mai, this expression, what is it coming to include? Lav l'asuyei ilan shenot v'sof avdo, is it not coming to include that case? So we see that Rabbi Yossi Haglili, who said this was part of his section of the Mishnah, he is coming to say that is forbidden. That a tree that was planted without idolatrous intent and subsequently worshipped, that would be forbidden. And it's on that point that the Tanakhama holds it does not become forbidden. The Af Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Savar Ilan Shenot V'Sof Avdo Osir. At this point in the Gemara, there is a focus now on a new Tana. In other words, it's a new Tanaic position, that a new name, that is, not a new position, it's a new name that's assuming the position of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that namely, that Ilon Shenol B'Sof Avdo becomes Osir. And as we said, the subsequent growth, that which grew after he started worshipping it, becomes forbidden. The focus of the Gemara, as we go on, will involve bearing in mind this name, the name Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda. Where do we see his shita? Desanyo, we have a Tanaic source, and we're pointing out that Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda will hold like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. If it makes matters any easier, both of these rabbis have the same beginning name, Rabbi Yossi. Desanyo, Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda Omer, Mitoch Shenemar, Eloheim Alahorim, Velohe Horim Eloheim. From the fact the Pasuk says they're gods, they're idols on the mountains, we learn that the mountains themselves do not become their gods, even though they may be worshipped. Eloheim al ha'gvois velo gvois Eloheim. Likewise, with regard to hills, we say the same thing. Shomei ani, I should conclude, tachas kol eitz ra'anon, Eloheim. V'lo Eitz Ranon Elohim, that their gods are found under their trees, but the trees themselves don't become usher. So should I conclude that? Namely, that there is no such thing as a forbidden tree? Talmud Lomar, there's another pasuk that says, V'ashereim tisrefun bo'esh. Rashi, Talmud Lomar, V'ashereim tisrefun, ulekamon meforesh, and later the Gemara will explain, Mimai tibinoto ulebasof avdokoi. We have to yet determine, since this brisa is brought in to show Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's position, that a tree, or I should say even a tree that was planted with kosher intention and only subsequently worshipped becomes usher, how do we know from this pasuk, Vashirem Tisru Ba'esh, that that is what the pasuk is talking about? We have a bracketed section, and there's a note on the outside margin, Matras HaSograyim. The purpose of this bracketed section is Lahatzmid, to connect Teguvas Rabbonon Rabbi Yossi Yehuda, the response of the Rabbonon, in other words, those opinions that disagree, just like we saw, there were Rabbonon that disagreed with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, namely, not everyone agrees that this is prohibited, the Elon Shenatul Lubasov of those. So, what is the response of the lenient ones? So, if we skip the bracketed section, V'rabbonon, hi, v'ashereim, tisrefu v'esh, mayavdilei. What are the Rabbonon going to do with this pasuk? Let's go now back over the bracketed section. In the brisa that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda presented, he suggested that maybe we could read the pasuk of Tachas Kol Eitz Ranon like we did with regard to the mountains, namely, underneath the tree. That which is found underneath, namely idols, those are usher, but the tree itself is not. But then the Brisa said, no, we're not going to learn the pasuk like that, because we have another pasuk that says the trees do become usher. So then what do we do with the pasuk of Tachas Kol Eitz Ra'anon? That's what the Gemara asks now. Elo Tachas Kol Eitz Ra'anon Lomali. So what am I going to use that pasuk for? Hahu l'Rabbi Akiva hu li'asa. That comes for Rabbi Akiva's teaching. This we already saw in the Mishnah, and he will tell us that Tachas Kol Eitz Ra'anon is a signpost where one can find idols. So as it says, the Amar Rabbi Akiva, ani oivin v'adun l'fonecha. I will explain to you. Kol mokoim sh'ata moitze har gavoa gvil nisa, the Eitz Ra'anon, wherever you find a lofty mountain or a high hill or a magnificent tree, da shi'yesh sham avodas kochavim, you shall know that under that you will likely find an idol. So the pasuk of Tachas Kol Eitz Ra'anon serves as a signpost, but nothing more. In other words, not to darshan a limitation. V'rabbonon, hi, v'ashereim, from Eish, my avdilei. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a new marking. The Mivneh note on the side, we see this double underline. So we have a note on the side, the double underline, Psukim be'inyan ibud avodah zara. These will be citing psukim that deal with the destruction of avodah zara. It will be important for us to follow along what is the pasuk teaching at each stage, and who is explaining the pasuk at that point. So the double underline will feature the psukim, and we then have a squiggle underline that's also explained here. Ma'akav achrei kol tana, an attempt to follow, to keep track of each tana. Mahu doresh mimenu, what does he darshan from that pasuk? In addition to that, we have a note here, Ayin Nami Batavla Batsad Smoil. We have a little chart that will be useful as the Gemara goes on, and certainly at the conclusion of the Sugya, that you can see on the inside margin. So we have to keep accounting of who says what with regard to each pasuk. So before this bracketed section, we saw the pasuk of Ashereim Tisru Fa'esh used by Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda to prohibit the case of Elon Shenatu Lubasov of a tree, though planted in a kosher way, being that it was subsequently worshipped. We said that can impose a prohibition on the subsequent growth of the tree, that which grows afterwards, after it was worshipped. The Rabbonon, who are lenient with regard to that, They say the tree, as once it was planted kosher, it remains kosher forever. V'rabbonon hai v'ashirim tisruf ba'esh mai avdilei. So what do they do with that pasuk? Answer, a tree that was planted originally with idolatrous intent. That's more problematic. It's very conception, so to speak. It's very inception, more accurately, was for idolatrous purposes. Question, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, nami mi boyalei lehachi, wouldn't he need this pasuk v'ashem tisfo'esh for this purpose? The Gemara says, "Hochi nami." Yeah, you're right. Well, Ela Elon Shenado the Sof Avdom and Alei. So, if we're going to use up Vashem Tisrom Eish for tree planted originally with idolatrous intention, where does he learn? We'll call the less serious case, namely a tree planted originally for kosher purposes. Where is he going to learn that that's forbidden once it's worshipped? Answer: Nafgalei. He'll learn it from another pasuk. Mevashereihem. Tegadeun. Ezu eitz shegiduo osur v'ikaro mutar. Which kind of tree would be described as giduo? Is that which the subsequent growth is osur, and original tree material being mutar. What is that? And the focus in this drasha is on the word tegadeun, which Rashi explains, Mashi Hichlif Achrei Kein, that which grows afterwards. In other words, the pasuk is describing a tree whose subsequent growth is problematic. Original tree, he is allowed to leave it there and it stays in the ground, and he can benefit from original tree. What is that? Answer, Heve Omer, Ilon Shenoto, Ulubasof Avdo. So as far as Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda is concerned, the source at this very point in the Gemara for Elon Shenotel Lusof Avdo, that is learned from Asherim Tegadeum. The Gemara asks, but when we saw Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda's Shita quoted originally, he didn't quote this pasuk. V'ha v'ashereim tisrufun bo'esh konosiv lo Talmuda. Talmuda, meaning the Braisa above, brought to bolster Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, his unique Shita, it cited the Pasuk Vashem Tisrefun Ba'esh. And now you're telling me that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda uses that Pasuk for tree planted originally for Avodah Zarah. How can you say that? The Gemara answers, Ilu lo ne'amar koma. This is a form, a structural form that the Gemara will explain. The translation, if something had not been said, so I would have concluded one way. Now that something else exists, I have a right to conclude something else. This is explained by the Gemara in the next few lines. We're calling this a long answer. You can see there's a tuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line. Let's read this again. Ilu lo ne'amar ko'omar. The Bryce is to be understood thusly. Ilu lo namar tisrufun ba'esh. Had I not had that posuk of Asherim tisrufun ba'esh, hoyisi omer, I would have thought, v'asherim tegadeun, I would have thought that that posuk is be'ilon shenato mitchilo lekach. That posuk would serve as the source for a tree planted originally for Avodah Zorah purposes. However, hasha v'chtiv Asherim tisrufun ba'esh, now that I have this pasuk of Asherim Tisrufun Ba'esh to tell me about what? About a tree planted originally for Avodah Zorah. Aiser Lei Asherim Tegadeun. The pasuk Asherim Tegadeun is extra and now available for something else. Le'ilon Shenotel Lusof Avdo. For the tree that was planted kosher and only subsequently worshipped. So when you look at the Braisa above, it's a Braisa that represents something in theory. True that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda there was trying to bring proof to his din of Ilon Shenotel Lusof Avdo, and what we are saying is that had I not had Ashereim Tisruim Ba'esh, I would have thought that Ashereim Tegadeun is talking about planted originally for Avodah Zorah purposes. But now that I have, I do have Asherim Tisrum Ba'esh, I free up Asherim Tigadeun to talk about that topic. So the Brisa above really represents something in theory. But the real source for Rabbi Yossi Ben Yoshita is not that which appears in the Brisa, but rather Ashereim Tigadeun. The Rabbanon who hold that Notel Ubisof Avdo, the entire tree is mutter. Hi Vashereim Tigadeun, my Avdilei. What are they going to learn from this pasuk? According to the Rabbanan, as far as prohibition of trees are concerned, there's only one situation that's prohibited, namely the tree that's planted originally for idolatrous purposes. And that can be learned from Asherim Tisrufun Ba'esh. What did the Rabbanan do with this extra pasuk? The pasuk of Asherim Tigadeun. They don't hold that Noto Lubisov Avdo is a problem, so what is being referred to here? Answer, L'chir Bishur ben Levi. This pasuk will serve to teach the teaching of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Before we go on, let's glance at the Rashi. Miboy aleich Rabbi Shua, Gidua ze, the presence of the Gidua in this pasuk. The pasuk said, Asherim Tigadeun, Loi lahatir ikoro. It's not here for serve as a limitation that only the subsequent growth is usher, but the original is mutter. It's not here for that purpose. Ella she yigad'o miyad b'kinisosam. Rather, it's telling me that as soon as they come into land, they shall cut down the trees. So the word gidua here is not focusing on subsequent growth to be cut off, but rather the entire tree to be cut down. Which tree? The trees that were there when they entered the land of Israel. Ulachar kibush yichapsu achreim lisor from levarom. And after they eventually conquered the land entirely, which was took a number of years, it was 7 years of conquest. Then there was a subsequent 7 years of dividing up the land. Rashi saying that after the kibush, they would then seek out these trees that they had cut down, let's say at least seven years earlier, and then go ahead and burn them. Let us see this in the Gemara. So the Gemara is focusing on Shitas HaRabbanon, the Rabbanon who were more lenient in the Machlokis between the Rabbanon and the other opinion. The Rabbanon will say that this pasuk Hashem Tigadeun is L'Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Gidu'ei Avodis Chachavim Kodmin L'Kibush Eretz Yisrael. The cutting down of the idols. In this case, we could focus on the idolatrous trees. But we're saying the cutting down shall take place before the conquest of the land. In other words, as soon as they entered the land, they would find these idolatrous things, at least the trees, the Asherah trees, and conceivably referred to additional idols as well. They were to be cut down, referring here to primarily trees that are attached to the ground. They need to be cut down. So those were cut down immediately before the conquest of the entire land. Kibush Eretz Yisrael, koidem lebiur avodis chachamim, and the conquest of land preceded the elimination, the physical elimination of the idols. Of the idols, in this case, the trees. The Tani Rav Yosef. V'nitatztem es mizbechosam v'hanoch. The pasuk says, smash their idolatrous altars and leave them. V'shibartem es matzevosam v'hanoch. And smash their matzevos, another type of altar, and leave it. The Gemara asks, v'hanoch salkadaitich, can you possibly say, and just leave it? Sreifa boy, they need to be burnt. So what is the Brisa here saying that they're smashed and left? Omer of Huna, Hanoch Uredof V'achakach Srof. The Hanoch means after you smash it, leave it, then pursue the nations that were in the land of Canaan, and after you pursue them and conquer them, V'achakach Srof, and then burn them, burn the trees. For Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, Hai Svarim in Ole, where does Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda learn this from? In other words, the pasuk of Asherim Tigadeun, which the Rabbanon cited to explain how to deal with the trees, first cut them down, leave them, and after the conquest, burn them. Where does Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda learn this from? Nafgale, he learns it from the following pasuk, Me Abed to Abdun, which means Abed v'achakach to Abdun. Like there's a two-stage destruction. There's initially Abed, cut them down, and then a subsequent to Abdun, burn them later on. For Rabbanon, what do the Rabbanon do with this pasuk of Abed to Abdun? Ha mi boyale le'oikir avodis kochavim shetzorach l'sharei shacharel. It tells me that when you're uprooting the tree, it doesn't mean just cut it down from the base of the tree above surface of the land, but uproot it from its very roots. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda l'shar shachem enole, where does Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda learn that idea from? Nafkale, he learns it from another pasuk. Mi v'ibadetem es shmom min amokim hahu. From that pasuk, he says it shall be utter destruction, including the uprooting of the tree from its very roots. Verabana, notice with the squiggle underlines how we're able to follow easily who the speaker is. It brings it out and what each one is doing with the pasuk. So the Rabbanan, what do they do with this v'ibadetem eshmam? Hahu l'chanois l'shem. It's coming to instruct us that one is supposed to change the names of idols. Desanya. And we have a Tanaic source that continues on to the top of Daf Mem Vav that deals with this issue of l'chanois l'shem desanya. Rabbi Elazar Omer, minayin l'oikar v'yuschavim shesorach l'shara shachra. From where do we know that one who uproots an idol, and it, most appropriately when it comes to an idolatrous tree, that one should uproot it, meaning literally from its roots, tamalomar v'ibadetem es shmom. This citation of v'ibadetem es shmom to tell me about uprooting is the way Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda learned it. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, valo kvar ne'amar abed to abdun. From, wouldn't you say that from that pasuk you learn uprooting? That's like the Rabbanan. They learn from abed to abdun this idea of needing to uproot. Im kain, if then abed to abdun tells me uprooting, ma tamalomer v'ibadetem eshmo min amokamahu. So then what am I going to do with that pasuk? Answer, hahu l'chanois lo shem. That's an instruction to change its name. So when we're instructed to change its name, we skip the brackets for a moment. Yochol lo lishvach v'lo lignai. When changing its name, does that mean just change it in any way, even if it's not necessarily derogatory or disparaging? Just any change. Talmud Lomar, the pasuk, there's another pasuk that says shaketz teshaktzenu v'tayef tetavenu ki cherem hu. That you shall certainly disparage and defile the idols. So that there is, that when instructed to change the name, it's not just a mere change one way or the other, but it means that it's a change to something disparaging. Before we go any further in the Braisa, let's go back to the third line from the top and then read the section that we skipped in the brackets. The Brisan said, "Hahu l'chanos l'shem." The pasuk of v'ibadetem es shmom. Shmom means their name. Is destroy their name. It means change their name. Yochol l'shevach. Does it suggest that I should improve the name, give it a more an idol, whatever name the idol had, to give it a more glorious name? So to this, the Gemara asks, "How can you have such a thought?" L'shvach salkadaitach, would you think that the Torah would instruct you to give an improved name to the Avodah Zorah? That couldn't have even been a havam. It could not have even been a thought. Elo, so what's the Brisa asking? Rather, Elo Yochol, maybe when the pasuk says v'ibadetem eshmom, and you're telling me means change the name, maybe lo lishvach v'lo lignai, maybe it just means change the name in any way, even if it's not necessarily derogatory. Talmud Lomar, the Gemara, the Brisa answers, and the Torah in effect answers, to shaketz to shaksenu taif to tavenu ki cherem hu. When we talk about the Badim Eshmah means changing the name, you don't have any options as far as how to change the name. It has to be in only one direction. It's got to be disparaging. Like Shaketz to Shaksenu implies. Ha Ketzad. So how do we accomplish that? For example, Hoyu Kurinosa Beis Galya. Let us say the idol was called Beis Galya. Galya is something indicating high, heights. Kurinosa Beis Karya. Call it the place of that's dug out. So if a particular place is called Morningside Heights, you'd call it Morningside Depths. Another example, Ein Kol, the eye of everybody, call it Ein Kotz, the thorn in its eye. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.